To the 51st division of the Psalm, Psalm 51. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 10, and we'll go through verse number 13 to begin this lesson this morning. Psalm 51. David had messed up his life now. He had committed sin, had an innocent man murdered. Now he's come to himself. And he asked the Lord in verse number 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, the creator is talking to, the created is talking to the creator. And renew a right spirit within me. David said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If we've been saved, we ought to have some joy. And then he said, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then David says, now he is asking a favor of God. Now he's going to tell God what he's going to do. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. The author, David, is making a plea to the Lord. He realizes that his spirit is weak. Anybody been there? And his heart is not clean. He's asking for a right spirit. And then he asks that he be restored to the joy of the salvation of God. Now, then he promises that he will teach transgressors the ways of God, and sinners shall be converted unto the Lord. David now has found himself to be of an unclean spirit, weak, and he's asking the Lord to restore what he used to have. So I would agree with the writer that it is the Spirit of God needs to be restored in the people of God. If you belong to God, you ought to tell somebody. Say amen now. The people of God need to be revived with the Spirit of God. And there needs to be a restoration of the church of God or the church of Christ. I have a problem with folk who can go to watch the Dallas Cowboys. Y'all still love me, don't you? And cheer and scream and shout for those Cowboys, even when they're losing. Come on, talk to me now. And we can just scream it until we're hoarse. And then come to church. Preacher's up here preaching his heart out. You sitting back there looking like you were baptized in lemon juice and weaned on a sour pickle. You ought to say amen every now and then. Amen to a preacher is like whipping a racehorse. If you want him to preach, you got to whip him sometime. Whip your preacher with some amens every now and then. Now, let me get into my subject. I want to say and reflect back on the time, on the days that have gone by. The days when life was much simpler, when things were so much easier. And this sermon is asking God to restore some of the old values and the principles we once enjoyed. My subject then is, Lord, please put it back. Lord, please put it back. We live in an age of great scientific achievements and technological advancements. We live in an age where life has been more comfortable and trouble-free. Our advances have hurled us into an aggressive go-getter society. Many have the conference that afford us a better way of life, and we have reached new heights and have excelled far above that which was once thought to be impossible. A few years ago, no one would have ever thought that soaring into outer space and let alone sending man to the moon and coming back. They brought some rocks from the moon, if you've been reading, and I was in D.C. and I saw those rocks they brought. They just looked like regular earth rocks to me, but they were rocks nonetheless. Some decades ago, people were dying of such simple things, but now man with his microscope and his ingenuity has fathomed the black mysteries of humanity and flooded the market with miracle drugs. This new millennial challenges us, not only the secular society, but it also challenges the church, the saving agency on earth for all men, and the custodian of divine truth. But in order for the church to really awaken and become enlightened in her role, for her to truly be appraised the fact of complete essentiality necessary of Christ and the source, ideal and paramount in any life, she must take a composite look at the community, at the family, at relationships, and most of all, the church. To take a candid look, it does not take a crystal ball gazer or a person who's equipped with voodooism or believes in fortune telling and to note the fact that there's something missing in 2015. Something that once was is now vanishing. So let's take a closer, in-depth look at these areas where something is vanishing. When we began to think about the community, it's not the same as it was when I was growing up. There was a time when you got out of hand. Not only the child of your parents, but you were the child of the community. That is to say that whenever you got out of line, or whenever you got too big for your britches, anybody could bring you down a notch or two. And whenever you got home, somebody ought to help me here, naturally you got the same. But it's not like that now. Because if the parents don't get down on you, the child will tell you where to go. Say amen now. Some of y'all were some bad little folks just like me. I needed a good spanking every now and then. But we had a community where everybody loved one another. And when you did something wrong, anybody could correct you. It was a community that people felt warmth and concern one for another. It was a mutual love that seemed to bring people together. If you were down or out of need and didn't have much, the neighbors would rally around you and bring you to the rescue. If you were in trouble, they would rally around you. If you didn't have enough to make ends meet, they would go up in the loft. Some of y'all remember that. And dig back in the smokehouse and see that everything would work out all right. But that's missing today. You can live next door to people for years, and never know their name. Come on, talk to me now, somebody. That's missing today. You can be dying on Main Street in broad open daylight, and people will pass you by saying, I don't want to get involved. Well, come on now. And it's none of my concern. Well, you need to call 911. Lord, I really don't know what has happened to us in our communities of this world. But Lord, whatever it is that's missing, please, let's put it back. And it's even astounding that even the family is not the same anymore. Something's missing there, Shelton. Many people don't have homes. They think they do, but it's nothing more than a restaurant and a hotel. Say amen, Brother Holt. Oh, yes. We eat, sack out, and we go on again. We seldom come together to worship as a family. We are busy trying to make the dollar and accumulate all of the material things that we've lost sight of the fact that we need God to bind us together in the love that is so badly needed in the families today. Families need some help today. Say amen now. Husband and wife, not what it always has been. I'm coming with it now. My wife and I have an understanding. Our understanding is I ain't leaving. And I'm not going to be left. Say amen. Amen. Just stay with the one you with. The divorce rate in the church. I understand we got some preachers have divorced and remarried. Well, that's not, you didn't do that years ago. You stayed together no matter what went on. Say amen now. Husband and wife preacher came home from church one day and they sat up a little while, then they went to bed. And the wife went to sleep. And the husband was still awake. And out of nowhere, he just put his hand on her neck. And she was asleep, snoring. He moved that hand down to her shoulder. And she woke up and started giggling a little bit. And then he moved that hand on down her arm. She started purring like a kitten. And he got to her elbow, Shelton. And when he got to her elbow, he stopped. And she said, honey, why did you stop? Why did you stop? He said, I found the remote. Lord, I don't know what has happened to this family. But whatever they had back then, Lord, please, put it back. Put it back for the children. And the friendships used to be so wonderful. Anybody in the community didn't mind speaking to you. Didn't mind greeting you with a smile. But not today. Friendship is nothing but a cliche. A semantic byproduct of a modern age. People claim they have many friendships and now they're only seeking to get close to you. Find out the secrets of your heart and will sell you for less than Judas sold Christ. Lord, I don't know what has happened to these friendships, but please, let's put it back. Now, don't think the church is going to escape this. There was a time when people in the country as well as people in the city had what we call good religion. We enjoy going to the house of the Lord. We didn't mind if the preacher preached too long. We didn't have anything to do but go home and go to bed anyhow. Say amen now. You could hear the singing a block away, and you could hear some sister shout, glory, hallelujah. We don't even shout anymore. I believe we ought to say amen every now and then. Amen, brethren. Oh, my friends, people didn't mind owning God. And people didn't mind lifting him up. And they're not caught up in all the traditions of men. They were not poisoned by being like the world. They let the Spirit have its way. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. A lot of folk want us to be quiet in church. But you know, when God's done something for you and God has given you a job and you got a house to live in and you got that husband you've been asking for and that wife you've been asking for, when you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to thank him. This is where he deserves our praise. Say amen now, somebody. We ought to just amen a preacher all the while he's preaching to let that person sitting beside us know, even if they're not a member of the body of Christ, I'm happy. I'm going to give God his praise. One thing I can't stand is a dead church. Their church ought to be buried. We serve a living God. And every now and then, some old lady would jump up and just shout. I've seen them knock a couple of folk down. We've gotten away from that. You know, we're educated now. We're sophisticated now. We've been to college now. I've been to the university now. Amen. I'm getting some bad vibes now. I've been preaching long enough to know the vibes are getting bad. Say amen. While I'm here, give your preacher some love every now and then. Amen. He works all week trying to get himself together to preach to you Sunday. We ought to give him some love. Got a fellow where I preached in Gary when I first moved to Gary Shelton. And they had a few meetings and I preached that morning. And they said, Brother Holt, one fella just kept asking me questions and asking me questions. Finally, I preached. I went home, went to the back of the building that morning. And this fellow walked back there. He had been asking me all kind of questions. And when I saw him coming, I knew he was going to ask me something. But he didn't say anything. He just shook hands with me, and he left something in my hand. Well, I didn't look at it. I just stuck it in my pocket. And when I got home, it was a $100 bill. I said, I'm going to like it in this church. Amen. All right. That next Sunday, I'm standing at the back shaking hands. Here he come back there again, shakes my hand, put it in my pocket, got home, another $100 bill. I said, this thing is looking better and better and better. Brother, let me tell you something. Now, I'm getting a little concerned now. Because I'm not used to a man or a woman, for that matter, just giving me $100. I'm just not used to that. So I did what we ought to do more of, brethren. I asked my wife, what should I do? I was concerned. I thought he might have had some motive. You know what I'm saying? I asked Hope. I said, Hope, this guy's giving me this money. It's been a couple of months. I said, I said, what do you think I should do? She said, Bob, ask him why. I hadn't thought of that. She said, just ask him why he does it. So that next Sunday he came out, he shook my hand, he put some money in my hand, and I said, Calvin, tell me, you know, why do you do this? You got 8 children. You live in a shack. Your car breaks down. You got to open up the hood to get started to go home. And And then you got enough to give me $100? He said, Brother Holt, I just don't believe that I ought to take my money, put it in a basket, and the brethren take the money and give it to the preacher. He said, I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. I thought about it for a minute. I said, well, I haven't read that either, Brother Spoon. See you next Sunday, my brother. God bless you. And he's still doing it. And all six of his children, I recommended, wrote a letter to them, to the college where they were attending, and all of them have graduated. That's because he blessed me, and I blessed him. Y'all still with me now? Lord, I don't know what the church had back there when sinners would sit in the congregation and after hearing the word of God and obeying the same, come out singing, "A Charge to Keep I Have." We ought to be happy when we come here. We ought to be joyful when we come here. David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God, is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. David said, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. He demands our praise. He expects our praise. And when the preacher's up here telling the truth, somebody just ought to say amen. Somebody ought to be moved to say praise the Lord. Somebody that God has worked with and has answered your prayers, you ought to tell somebody. Somebody who's had some little bad children, and we got some bad children in the church sometimes. Right. Amen. Right. And God has blessed them to go to school every day, come home safely. We ought to come to the house of the Lord and give God his praise. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. He deserves our praise. Right. Don't keep it to yourself. When God has done something for you, give him some praise. Got some more vibes out there. All right. But that's all right. That's all right. You don't have to say amen. But you ought to say amen anyhow. God been good to you. Got you up this morning. It was not your alarm clock got you up this morning. It was God got you up this morning. Now I've learned as I've gotten 60 to be 60, none of your business years old. When I open my eyes every morning and realize that I'm alive and I'm breathing, I just say, thank you, Lord. Many went to bed last night that didn't get up this morning. But God woke me up this morning, started me on my way. And then I've learned that I'm not as strong as I used to be. I remember a time, Shelton, when I used to just jump up out of bed. Anybody feel me? And when I wake up, I just jumped out of the bed and just took off. Can't do that no more. Can't do it no more. I get out now one leg at a time. Amen. And I sit down and wait for a minute. Let this one start getting working for me. Say amen when you can. Then I pull this one out of the day. Come on now, somebody. And then I wait till all the juices are flowing. Yeah, and then I slowly get up. Some of y'all can feel me this morning. And then I take off to the bathroom. And all I hear is snap. Crackle. and pop. Come on, say amen when you can. But I'm thankful to God that's given me my health. I've had three heart attacks, and God is still blessing me. I got something to be thankful for. I can't come to church and just sit up and laugh. I'll be glad to come into the house of the Lord. I believe it was David or somebody said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Say amen when you can. Oh, times have changed. Friendships used to be so wonderful. I'm nearing my conclusion. Anybody in the community didn't mind speaking to you, didn't mind greeting you with a smile, but not today. It just doesn't happen anymore. And then the church is not where it used to be. And some folk talk about the church and talk about the leadership. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to quit that. Love everybody. We ought to all love everybody. Jesus loved us. God loves us. And we ought to love everybody. Some folk want the service to be cut short. They want a sermonette. Brother Hogan used to say, we got some preacherettes who preach sermonettes to some Christianettes who smoke cigarettes. Amen. Preacher can't preach too long. Some are happy if nobody says amen. They say the shouting is too emotional. But Lord, I don't know what has happened to the church. I don't know why the spirit is so weak in some of our churches. But please, Lord, put it back. We need it in the house of the Lord. And often you can sit by a visitor. And if the visitor doesn't see you getting excited, he sure won't get excited. Amen, somebody. Amen. Lord, give us that old time religion. As many times as I've heard Shelton's father preach, I couldn't wait till Gibbs came to our church. And we were just so excited when he would come because he brought some life and some enthusiasm with him. And we love that man. It was good enough for my money. It ought to be good enough for me. And so we need to get back to that time when people looked forward to coming to the Lord's house because they knew that they would hear the gospel preached and would sustain their soul. Lord, give it back to us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Had it not been for the, I'm closing now. Right. Say amen. Had it not been for the blood of Jesus, we'd all be lost this moment. Amen. But because God sent him to this earth to show us how to live and to show us how to die. Amen. When Jesus died, he never complained. Right. He just stayed on that cross. Right. Somewhere in the Bible, it talks about that devil. That devil's he's a tricky dude. He's a tricky dude, and if we're not careful, he can make us unpleasant, unhappy, but as long as you got breath in your body, you ought to praise the Lord. Right. No matter, even in sickness, you ought to praise the Lord. Right. I've been as sick as anybody in here, and I'm more appreciative now to God than I've ever been in my whole life, because I've seen how he has brought me into. Don't I look good this morning? Amen. I ain't talking about my suit. I'm talking about me now. I'm thankful that God has blessed me to get sick and fall. I dropped dead out in California. I was gone, dead. Didn't even know. When I hit the floor, it jarred the artery loose. My heart started beating again. The elders had been trying to get me to go to the hospital because I had chest pains. I said, no. It'll go away. It didn't go away. And finally, when I hit that floor shelter
and it woke it back up. I was gone. I don't even remember falling or hitting the floor. I don't remember that. I just opened my eyes and I was on the floor. I told the elder, it's time to go to the hospital. I'm ready to go. Say amen, somebody. And that was God. He was sending me a message as well as saving my life. So I've got something to come to the house of the Lord to be thankful for. And I don't let anybody kill my spirit. I don't care what you say. If I'm sitting beside you, I'm going to praise the Lord because he's been so good to me. Say amen now. If the Lord's been good to you, you ought to just say amen, Brother Hope. Amen. God's been good to all of us. Am I right? Amen. So we ought to thank him. We ought to praise him.
Yes,
we ought to give him the respect that he deserves.
Yes,
and don't forget this. The devil brought sin into the world with a dead, alive tree and a live man. God fixed it so that a dead tree with a dead man.
Yes, sir.
Gave us forgiveness of our sins. And everybody in here has sinned.
Yes.
Everybody in here has come short of the glory of God. But it was because Jesus died on that cross.
Amen.
Born in Bethlehem.
All
right. Reared in Nazareth.
All right.
Baptized in the Jordan.
All right.
Performed miracles in the desert place.
Yeah.
Wept over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Prayed in Gethsemane.
Yeah.
Stood 5 trials in 4 different courts.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get justice at either trial.
Yeah.
Early one Friday morning.
Yeah.
Marched him on up to the hill of Golgotha.
Yeah.
Put him on an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
Nails in his hands.
Yeah.
Nails in his feet.
Yeah.
Pierced a hole in his side.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't come down from that cross.
Yeah.
I'm glad he stayed on that cross.
Yeah. All right.
Had he come down from that cross, you and I,
that's it.
We'd be lost.
Mm.
But the blood that was shed on Calvary cleanses us from our sin.
That's
right. Somebody said, "Hold on, I can live. I can be above sin. Nobody is above sin."
Well,
I heard somebody say, "The only way you can be above sin is rent you an apartment above a sinner." And that's about right. God's been good to us.
Yeah.
Jesus has paid the price for us,
right,
that we might have eternal life. And I'm glad that he did not get down from that cross. He was on that. Let me show you something about the cross and I'll be done. Look at me as that cross. When Jesus was on that cross pointed in every direction. It pointed east. You listening? It pointed west. It pointed north. It pointed south. Y'all still with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad it pointed south. And dead folk ought to be glad.
Yes.
Because that cross, in order to put that cross in the ground and that cross to maintain and stand in that ground, they had to put it in the ground. They had to dig a hole. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus covered everybody.
Yes, sir.
When he died.
Yes.
He covered everybody on the east.
Yeah.
It covered everybody on the west. And listen, the top of the cross pointed to God. But the bottom of the cross was in the earth. And the Bible said that Jesus, when he died, his spirit went back to God. And his soul descended into hell and preached to the spirits. To the spirits in prison. Y'all still there? So that cross was symbolic of saving the whole world. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's paid the price for us. And if there's anybody here that needs to come to the Lord, this is a great opportunity for you today. Mm-hmm. You may not live till tomorrow. Many went to bed last night, didn't get up this morning.
All right.
But God shook you and woke you up this morning.
All right.
And you're here this morning. And I hope if you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, you'll come forward tonight. Give me your hand, give this today. Give me your hand, give God your heart. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to his church. How many does he have?
There's one.
I didn't hear you, didn't hear you, didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Some of y'all are scratching your head. You didn't have but one. We deal in a God of oneness. Have you noticed that each one of us are different? You don't find two people just alike because God made us specially. He deals in the oneness of, and I'm glad he didn't make but one of some of us. Say amen. 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 We're all different. Okay, yet we all need salvation. You're here this morning and you're not a member of the body of Christ. Come forward, give me your hand, give God your heart. Be buried in the watery grave of baptism, rising a new creature in Christ Jesus. One more thing to share with you and I'm done. When you go down into the water, God gives you a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift.
Right.
Now, it's not going to make you speak in tongues, so-called. It's not going to do that. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. You've been bad doing everything you want to do, and when you come to be baptized, God washes your sins away and then gives you a gift. I think that's pretty good.
Amen.
It's pretty good. He gives you a gift. The gift is the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not going to make you speak in tongues. Y'all listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
The apostles were given the full measure of the Holy Spirit. They could raise the dead, heal the sick. They had a full measure of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized, he gives us the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What does that do? What the gift does to us, It wrestles with our flesh because there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Y'all still with me? I'll be through in a minute. There's a battle between the flesh says do it. Spirit says don't do it.
All right.
See, there's a battle there. And it's contingent upon what you do to who wears the body. All right? If you will follow your flesh. Amen. And the Spirit said, no.
Yes.
You're defeating your purpose. Yes. There's a battle there. It's always been a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And if you've already been baptized, that Spirit is in you right now.
That's right.
If you were back, am I right now?
Yes. Yes.
Some of y'all looking at me and say, brother, what in the world are you talking about? See, a lot of people misuse this spirit thing. I've heard folks speak in tongues, you know, and you got to get the Holy Ghost, you got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. No, you don't. You got to be baptized, you got to speak in tongues and all that kind of foolishness. But if you don't know your Bible, you say, well, that sounds pretty good to me. I guess I'll speak in tongues. Yabba dabba 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 do. You don't know what you're saying, and God don't know what you're saying.
Right.
Nobody knows what you're saying. But when you're baptized, you receive a gift. And that gift is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We talk about the indwelling of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget this, you can grieve the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When you go against the Spirit's advice, you know, it's kind of like, well, I ought to do it. Should I do it or should I not do it? The Spirit says, well, don't do it. And your flesh says, do it. Whichever one you want to answer to. Y'all still with me now? But if you've been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit directs you and gives you something to do opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Y'all still with me now?
Sure.
So if you're not baptized, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the only way you can get that gift of the Holy Spirit is to be baptized in water. Go down into the water.
Yes.
Come up out of the water, and you have been saved.
Right.
The Holy Spirit now dwells within you. Y'all still there?
Yes, sir.
Woo, I'm getting some funny looks. I'm getting some funny stares. I don't know. I don't know whether Self has been preaching that or not, but I've been studying that. In other words, when there's something you could do wrong, the Spirit said, now, hold, don't do that.
All right.
My flesh says do it because it's fun.
All right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
All right.
So the battle is between the flesh
and the Spirit.
And the Spirit.
All right.
Very simple. All right. Now, if you are not a child of God, you can get that gift by being baptized.
Yes.
That's a you know, God's so good.
Mm.
He made it so easy for us
to
be. He gave us something to do. Just go down in some water. Mm. Now, most of us, and I'm hoping all of us, have been down in some water.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a bathtub.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we've been. So God gave us something easy for us to do because we're used to getting in that bathtub.
Uh-huh.
Some of y'all look like you haven't been in a bathtub. but that God made it easy for us to.
Yes, sir.
That's God. What a blessing. If you're here this morning and you have not been baptized, you need to come forward, give me your hand, give God your heart, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to his church.
Amen.
Get on your feet now. Let's stand and sing the song for the Savior's invitation. Somebody needs to come. Come right now. Together we sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, have allured my sight. For I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. For Jesus, greatest, highest, and I will come to you.